Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So we were talking about parasailing.
Yeah.
Which I'm thinking about doing in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
We go on family vacation.
Even now?
Down at the beach. Yeah. I'm thinking about doing it. I've done it once before.
Yeah.
Not there, but at the Lake of the Ozarks. But Steve decides, I think I'll show Tim a video clip of of a parasail adventure where the rope snapped. I call it a rope. I don't know. I guess it's a rope.
Yeah, yeah, not a string.
Okay, but the people survived, though. They just floated down to the water, didn't they, Steve?
Yeah, they did. No harm, no foul, a little bit wet.
I think that was actually a movie scene with Tom Cruise in it, because he does his own stunts.
He does. That's between kind of.
No, it was a real. You know people
they
up there.
The GoPro cameras.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So anyway, I guess there's one in. I wonder if parasail companies advertise that. You know, we're 99% successful.
99%. Huh? Yeah. Would you jump out of a plane to go skydiving?
They had a 99% success rate.
Yeah. Would you? Would you do it?
Mm-hmm. That's a good success rate under most circumstances.
Absolutely.
99.
Go for it.
If you score 99 out of 100 on a test, you've done good.
Absolutely.
99 on 100 on a what?
Yeah, but you can't.
On a parasail adventure?
You're probably not going to die if you get an F on a test.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, we have in studio with us a very special guest. Sometimes our guests aren't special. But Dr. Baruch Corman. He is the founder of Love Israel, a ministry dedicated to providing verse-by-verse teaching of the entire Bible from the original languages and Jewish context. His program airs each Saturday here on American Family Radio from noon Central time. And we want to welcome Dr. Corman. Good morning, brother.
Good morning. It's very nice to be here, and I'm not a parasailer at all. So
I'm with you.
Now you are visiting us here in the U.S. from your homeland.
From Israel. We live in Israel. I've lived in Israel for 25 years. Grew up in the States, but now in Israel.
Where'd you grow up here?
Grew up in Chicago, and after I got married, we moved to Florida, to Miami. We were there for a number of years. But as I said, for the last 25 years, we've been in Israel, 5 years in the Galilee, in the town called Tzfat, and now in the southern part of Israel, not far from Gaza. We're about 25 kilometers, 14, 15 miles from Gaza.
Now, why did you move from the U.S. to Israel?
Prophetically, we see in the scripture that God has promised. It's not by accident. It's not by coincidence. But God has promised, as the last days approach, to bring the Jewish people back to the land. And I just had a call, a strong desire, don't know why, but to go to Israel. I think it's prophetic. And so we uprooted my family, our family, and went to Israel in 2000 and been there since.
When you say your family, how many of you were there?
Well, there's my wife that went initially, begrudgingly, but she went, and our three children.
Begrudgingly.
Whoa. How'd
you handle that one? Honey, listen, can we go out
the Lord
tonight?
Has said.
There's something I need to tell you.
Well, she made a mistake of saying something. She said, I'll agree to it, but we have some debt we need to pay off, and we need 1 year of living expenses
and
all the expenses to move over there. And that was a lot of money, more money than we have experienced for several years. Coming in as far as income. And I was working as a congregational leader, but also I worked in financial services. And 2 days later, I got a call, and a person said, you know, I'm not happy with who's handling my money. Would you consider? And I went over and met with him. Make a long story short, he He decided to move his portfolio to our company, and the commission that I received was significantly more than that my wife's minimal requirement. So
that was a sign to you that God was blessing your...
Don't challenge God, do you?
I took that to mean he was right. He was blessing. It was his will. Yeah. I didn't tell my wife. I waited for a commission to come in and everything. Yeah. And I called the moving company. I began to get the plane reservations. And then I sat down and I showed her our bank account, showed her the tickets, showed her everything. I said, we're moving on this date.
And that's 20-something years ago.
25 years ago.
I have to ask, if you're living near the Gaza border, where were you on October 7th? Were you anywhere close?
We were actually at a conference, and I was in Venice. The conference was going to be in Italy. Huh. So we were not there. Our children were all there.
Anywhere close to where all the horrible stuff happened?
15 miles away.
Oh, my gosh.
So we woke up. We have what most Israelis have. It's called... Seva Adom, which is the alerts that rockets are coming in. And my wife and I sleep differently. She's a very light sleeper, as most men are. We sleep really good.
Right.
And she was awakened with her phone just going ballistic. And soon thereafter, our daughter called us and said, we're getting rockets every few minutes. The sirens are going off. And such.
How old are your children?
They're adult children. They've all been through the Israeli military. They've all served in the military. So our youngest is 28. That's who we were talking to. Our oldest is 34. So
how does it work in terms of citizenship? Your children were born over here. Mm-hmm. They live over there. Do they become dual citizens?
We all have dual citizenship. Okay. If you can prove, based upon rabbinical law, that you are Jewish.
Okay.
So there's a process you go through. If you are verified that you are of Jewish descent, therefore you can return to Israel under what's called the law of return, and you are given immediately citizenship, soon thereafter a passport, and you are full Israeli citizens.
Okay, so this is a question I've always wanted to ask someone, and now I have an opportunity. Okay, so with the... the dispersions of the Jews under various circumstances, I guess the most recent being the war between the Jews and the Romans, or whatever, 2,000 years ago. Can Jews prove which tribe they come from?
No. All those records were lost in the destruction of the Second Temple, as you pointed out, by Titus in 70 A.D., so there's no way for that to be proven based upon what tribe you're from and such. So how do we prove ourselves?
Right.
The main document is called a ketubah, which is the wedding document. So before a rabbi, and it's really not the rabbi, but it's what's called a bet din, a rabbinical court, prepares the wedding document, they verify that both people are Jewish.
Yeah.
They do it in a variety of ways. If you have your parents' ketubah, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a good proof. So you prove that you're Jewish. Now, today, there's another thing they want from people, and that is a letter from a rabbi attesting that he knows personally you to be Jewish.
Okay.
So if you have those two documents, that's pretty much what it requires to prove that you're Jewish, that you are born from a Jewish woman. The man does not determine. Now, biblically, there's a lot of evidence that it is the man that determines the Jewishness.
Yeah.
But under Jewish law today, if your mother's Jewish, you are Jewish. So it depends upon the mother.
Are any roadblocks thrown up if you're a Christian?
Basically, if you are a Christian and Jewish, you are not allowed that right of return. Therefore... You need to make sure that things are not on the internet and such.
Right.
Now, I had a lot of things on the internet.
Right.
where I was unique is that, contrary to most Jewish people who are believers, our family was very involved in the Jewish community. We had the synagogue that we still went to even as believers. where it was the synagogue that hosted a large event, which a large portion of the Jewish community came to. I was the MC of that. So I knew many of the leaders. I knew what's called the shliach, which is the person for the Israeli government that officiates whether you get citizenship or not. He knew me personally,
right.
Or I knew him personally,
right.
And therefore he made it happen very easily. They didn't do, they just assumed that I wasn't a believer, and therefore they didn't do any of the background or anything that they staunchly do today.
Wow.
We're talking to Dr. Baruch Korman, founder of Love Israel. He's heard each Saturday afternoon on American Family Radio from noon to 1 o'clock Central Time here on AFR with the program Lost in Translation. So what do you do? What do you do there? I mean, you do the radio program, but what's the mission? What's your purpose for your ministry?
Our whole ministry is about one thing, and that is sharing biblical truth. So we do studies of scripture.
Okay.
Now, in Israel, we do those scriptures, obviously, or those teachings in Hebrew, because our emphasis is not in having an international church there. Our emphasis is reaching Hebrew-speaking Israelis with the truth of God's word. So we do that through seminars. We just completed the Passover season, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a very busy time for us because we have seminars, we have different events, we have different groups, home groups that meet in different places. And so we use these festivals in order to share biblical truth.
What percentage of Israelis are what you call secular versus religious?
Well, you have really two groups in Israel, as you pointed out, secular, and then the other group is Orthodox. And when you look at the ultra-Orthodox community, those with black suits and the beards and the pale, the side curls and the black hats, you're talking probably around 20%, but it's growing and is growing rapidly based upon the mitzvah, peru urvu, which means be fruitful and multiply. So that's a very important commandment for that community. But then you also have probably about 40% additional, to get us up to 60, of what's called Dati Lumi, not Haredi, but Dati Lumi, which is our more modern Orthodox. They don't dress in that attire. That
like Reformed Jews in this country?
Well, there's basically no Reformed Jews in Israel. There's a small group of pockets, mostly Americans that have come over, but it's basically non-existent.
Okay.
So you have Dati Lumi, which are Orthodox. They follow Jewish law. Biblical law with a rabbinical perspective, and you have the Haredi community. That's about 60%. So to answer your question, Tim, about 40% of Israel's population is secular.
But that's about all of Tel Aviv, right?
Oddly enough, Tel Aviv is changing rapidly. My oldest daughter and son lives in Tel Aviv, in southern Tel Aviv, in a neighborhood called Shapira. And she's seen growing number of Haredi Jews moving into this community. The largest Frum ultra-Orthodox community is just real close to Tel Aviv. It's called B'nai Barak. And there's several hundred thousand in that. So Tel Aviv has that reputation, but Tel Aviv's very liberal because of the secularism.
Yeah.
But there's still a growing and vibrant Jewish ultra-Orthodox communities, even in Tel Aviv.
That's very interesting. I always thought that Israel was far more secular than that. You're saying 60% believe in God and respond by living a Orthodox Jewish life.
Let me just clarify something. We lived in one of those ultra-Orthodox community, and we saw people who were extremely committed to Judaism. But in getting to know them and sharing things with them, they would say confidentially, I'm not even sure I believe in God.
Huh.
What was important to them was this culture, it's great for family life.
Yeah.
This was very important to it. They were very committed to Orthodox life. They enjoyed the community, the benefits of the community, the lifestyle, but not necessarily all of them believe in God, or that's the motivation.
Very interesting.
Dave's
fascinating.
Do you have any further?
I am fascinated by it. In fact, I've heard your program, and I love listening to it. It's just fascinating, the delving into the Hebrew language and what we miss as just if just a reader of English Bible. I miss so much.
Well, lost in translation.
Lost in
that's of your program.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I appreciate those kind words.
All right. Well, Dr. Baruch Korman has been our guest, and we thank you for your ministry and appreciate you stopping by and visiting with us while you're in town here in studio.
Well, American Family Radio has been a great blessing to us. We have seen our audience increase, our donor base increase, and it's directly related to when we began on your network. So we're very thankful for that opportunity and privilege to be part of your family.
Thank you, Dr. Korman, Dr. Baruch Korman. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, what's your what story you have?
Thank you. I just wanted to, let's start here. You know, yesterday was May the 4th, the Star Wars Day, right? May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. Yes.
Well, you know what that makes today, right?
May the 5th.
May the 5th. Our president has a message on this May the 5th for us, Cut 15.
My fellow Americans, S2 Presidente Favorito, and I wanted to wish you a very happy Cinco de Porto. Cinco de Porto is a tremendous day to all of the illegals, gang members, drug traffickers, human smugglers, and all around bad hombres. Te vamos a sacar de nuestro país, or as I call it, we're getting you out of our country. MS-13, we're getting you out. Tren de Aragua, we're going to get you out, or we're going to put you in Alcatraz. We'll call you Tren de Alcatraz because we want to reopen Alcatraz. All my beautiful people, they said to me, sir, they said, senor, why do you want to reopen Alcatraz so badly? I said, mi hermano, I got to tell you, you look at it, it's called The Rock. It's named after me. It needs to start acting like it. We are going to rebuild it so beautifully and so strongly and so greatly. We will make Alcatraz great again.
Okay, Steve, you better hurry up.
That wasn't really.
That is funny.
Yeah. Cinco de Porto.
Cinco de Porto.
Because today's Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, right. That was a gentleman named Sean Farage, who I love this guy. He's
we can tell.
Very much a Trump supporter and apologist. Got a good head on his shoulders, and he does a great Trump. So every so often I like to bring him in and hear what our president, almost president, is saying. I mean, he didn't say anything that President Trump really wouldn't say, right?
probably pieced together things he had said. By the way, Cinco de Mayo, it's not like their Independence Day. It's a victory over some army, wasn't it, at Cinco de Mayo? Second victory.
I think, yeah.
Anyway.
It is not their Independence Day.
Right.
I'm not sure what.
So for all our Spanish-speaking listeners or Hispanic individuals, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Oh, that's today.
Today.
You should be getting a special of Mexican food. Yeah. special prices on, huh? No,
I don't know. They may have a Cinco de Mayo special. They might. Go ask. We have a Mexican restaurant right on the corner up here.
Oh, we have 27 right around
the corner. So we're close.
Anyway, I like that guy. That guy's funny.
Like you said, they parachute Dollar Generals up everywhere. But if you got an empty building for more than 2 months, they're going to put a Mexican restaurant in there. It's going to happen.
And it'll do good business.
All right, so Steve.
Yes, sir.
Are we going to take over Greenland?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. This is what the president has been saying, and a lot of people are a little bit nervous. Some of the headlines I saw said Donald Trump doesn't rule out invading Greenland amid World War III fears. I'm not sure that it's quite to that level, but I will tell you I'm looking for what he did say on this. Let's listen to the president. This is what he said.
Now this, let me just say this.
This is
really the president.
This is not the guy
who impersonates him.
No, this is really the president, and this is what he said when asked about Greenland Cut 12.
They think we are going to protect them, and really we are. But the truth is, they don't carry their full share, and it's unfair to the United States and our taxpayers.
But you are not ruling out military force to take Greenland.
I don't rule it out. I don't say I'm going to do it, but I don't rule out anything. No, not there. We need that. We need Greenland very badly. Greenland is a very small amount of people, which we'll take care of and we'll cherish them and all of that. But we need that for international security.
There's a lot of nervous fishermen in Greenland right now, Ed.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Look, I love President Trump. And I mentioned in the first hour, he is knocking it out of the ballpark in several areas. But there is no way we're going to war. We're not taking Greenland. And the fact that he wouldn't rule it out, listen, that's you don't say that, okay? If I was in a conversation with my wife and she said, do you rule out ever having an affair and being unfaithful to me? I don't say, well, I'm not going to do it, but I don't rule it out, okay? That you just don't say that because it implies that there is a certain set of circumstances where you would be unfaithful. And for the president to say, I don't rule out taking Greenland by force, he would split the Republican Party right down the middle, probably would get impeached, and MAGA would disappear as a political force. I don't think he should be even implying that. He should say, of course not. That's the right answer. You say, of course not. But if Greenland would like to become a part of the United States, we would cherish the people of Greenland and protect it. That, to me, is the right way of saying it.
The president has said this same line about just about anything he's been asked for with regard to military. Are you going to bomb Iran? Well, I'd be stupid if I told
that's
you if
different.
I was or not. I know.
That, to me, that's different.
But anytime you talk to him about strategy and a military context, he has always said, and I'm not going to rule anything out. I'm not going to tip my hand. I don't think anybody, I don't think anybody as of like last term would think he'd be anywhere close to doing that. It's very confusing. I think it's very poorly worded.
Why don't you just say no, not with Greenland?
I agree.
Greenland's not the same as the situation with Iran. I wish I could do a really good Donald Trump voice and just say, of course, we're not going to invade Greenland. That's not what America does. The American flag symbolizes freedom. It's not going to symbolize taking your land and your stuff.
Kind of along the same lines, do you know that who's coming to the White House this week? Mark Carney, the governor of the 51st state of America, is going to be meeting with Donald
Prime
Trump
Minister
this week.
Prime Minister
Carney. That's right.
He
will be at the White House this week.
Does he come as friend or foe?
Well, I don't know. We haven't ruled out a military takeover of Canada either.
Anyway,
folks, I think my mind.
I think the Canadian Prime Minister, what's his name?
Mark Carney.
I think he's going to call Zelensky to see how things should go at the White House.
Maybe.
How do I approach?
How do you think I should act while I'm there?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you for listening to the program today, everybody. We appreciate it and hope you have a wonderful rest of your Monday, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.